For the rest of us, would you turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. I want to talk to you today about the prayer covering. Whether you know it or not, we all need to be under a prayer covering. The enemy is less powerful than God. We all in agreement on that? But he is more powerful than us without God. All right? So we all have a major need for a prayer covering. So that's our topic today. Our foundational text is 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 4. And reads as follows. I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. There's that word truth again. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. And we just pray that you will watch over it and perform it today within us. Lord, transform us by the power of your word. Enlighten us today, Lord. Give us a revelation. And Lord, as I bring this message, I pray that you would draw out of me only that which you would have me to speak. Not a word more or a word less. And all for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to talk to you all in this message about the importance of a prayer covering. A prayer covering begins with a healthy prayer life as we pray for ourselves. Then, as brothers and sisters in the Lord, we pray and intercede for each other. We will all enjoy the benefits of a prayer covering. We must learn how to effectively pray for ourselves. That's the beginning. It makes me nuts when I've heard believers say, "Oh, I don't really pray for myself much. That's pretty selfish." What? Well, you know, it's selfish if the only prayers you offer are the ones for yourself. I will agree with that. But it is not selfish to pray for yourself and pray for others. You know, we're supposed to take care of ourselves as well. We're commissioned in the Word to take care of our own bodies, to be wise stewards, all right? So, having a prayer covering over ourselves and over others is really a must if we are going to live on this earth with the victory that Jesus Christ died and rose again to give us. God put on my heart to preach this message today as I was thinking about National Day of Prayer coming, and the Lord just whispered in my heart, preach on prayer. And then specifically it came prayer covering, the importance of a prayer covering. Praying a prayer covering over ourselves, praying a prayer covering over our loved ones, regularly with a healthy prayer life. Now understand, a healthy prayer life does not mean the only time you take time to pray is when you're in your prayer closet on your knees or next to your bed, or that's good. That's all good, okay? But a healthy prayer life involves being mindful of God throughout every day. Being mindful of God when we wake up in the middle of the night and the Lord prompts us to pray for somebody and we're obedient and we do it. Even if it means we don't get back to sleep for 2 or 3 hours. You know what? I know from experience, when I have had times where God has woke me up specifically to pray for things and kept me awake for hours, those following days are the ones that I don't notice the missed sleep. When it's not God and I'm tossing and turning because maybe I'm concerned about something or, God help me, worried about something, I don't normally wring my hands and spend my life in worry. I leave that to other people. My wife. She has more of a tendency to be a worry. You know, that's all I'm saying. I normally do not have that tendency. But there are times when you can't find sleep. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And man, I'm doing anything I can because I know otherwise, all the next day, I'm going to be like this. Yeah. You know? So, I try everything. Lord, you, and I remind him of his word. Lord, you said, you give your beloved rest. Am I your beloved? Amen. I lay hold of that sleep. You know what I'm saying? And so anyway, intercession is powerful. Putting prayer covering, keeping prayer covering on ourselves, keeping a prayer covering on others, and guess what? The corporate body of Christ building a prayer covering over this nation. The body of Christ in this nation has fallen in that area. I am thankful that we have National Day of Prayer set aside for people to be purposeful to pray for our nation. But we need to be doing that daily. So if it's once a year we're praying for our nation, we got a problem. All right? There's a reason I include prayers for our nation many times in our corporate prayer, in our services. It's included almost always somewhere along the way in our encounter meetings. I'm sure in our small groups of prayer, lighthouse groups, the list goes on. We need to be, as a body of believers, and as the overall body of Christ in this nation, we need to be praying a prayer covering over this nation. So intercession, means to meet with God. Intercession means to meet with God for the purpose of petitioning and or pleading on behalf of others so God will meet their needs. I'll repeat that, because I know some of you are writing it down. Intercession means to meet with God for the purpose of petitioning and or pleading on behalf of others so God will meet their needs. Whatever needs they are, we as a body of believers should be praying for one another. When I'll just throw some examples out. When we know someone has been laid off and they don't have a job, for example, we need to be praying for employment for those people. You know, it's absolutely amazing. I know there must be a lot of people praying besides me for those kinds of things, for this body of believers. Because over the years, I got to level with you, the people in this church that want a job have always been able to get a job. We have never had a situation where if someone really wanted to be employed, that they couldn't get employed. We've never had that situation in this church. That tells me there's some prayer going up for people. So I encourage you in that. Because great things happen when we pray for one another. Notice in that sentence I gave you that it starts out that it's to meet with God. We need to really understand that prayer time starts with meeting with God. Here I am, Lord. Fill me with your presence. Cover me with your protection. Lead my prayer life. Lead me, Lord, what to pray for. I thank God for the gifts of the Spirit. I thank God for the gift of tongues. Because when I don't know what to pray for a situation, I can pray in the Spirit. And my spirit is uniting with God. I'm meeting with God in that. And I know I'm praying His perfect will when I'm praying in the gift of tongues. All right? So, that's included. Now, I know everybody doesn't speak in tongues here. That's all right. It's not a point of salvation. However, it is a power gift. It is a power gift. All right? It builds us up, first of all. Tongues build up the speaker, first and foremost. It builds us up. When I don't know what to pray for myself, how many of you get in a situation you don't know the answers? See, I've told you guys whenever I've taught on prayer over the years, I've told you guys, stop praying the problem and pray the answer. Many times I've said that, encouraged you, stop praying the problem. God already knows the problem. He's in the middle of it with us if we're in Him, if we're meeting with Him. Pray the answer to the problem. And when we don't know how to pray the answer, pray in the Spirit. When we know not what to pray, pray in the Spirit. So it starts with revelation that we are meeting with God. For what purpose? For that of petitioning Him on behalf of others, so that He will meet their needs, whether it be healing, emotional, whether it be deliverance, whether it be financial, whether it be relational. We're living in a day where the enemy has been attacking relationships, especially the family unit, and breaking up the family. Everything in our culture is geared against the traditional family today. Could I get about 50 witnesses?
Amen.
And it's come right out of the pit of hell. Guess what? We need to build up that prayer covering over families. Over our own families to start with. And then the other families of the people that we know, especially in the body of believers. So what are the characteristics of an intercessor? I want to give you some ideas about that. First one is a person that's an intercessor is having an intimacy with God through a deep personal relationship over years of being alone with God. The time we spend alone with God builds a relationship with Him that births that true intercessory spirit. All right? An intercessory gift. Now, people, I've taught on this in the past, but I can't preach this without revisiting it. A person with a true intercessor's anointing, I'm talking about a gift of the Spirit of intercession, God is going to wake them up during the night. It's going to happen if you're a true intercessor. I can tell you that right now. If you truly have that gift working in your life, you are going to get woke up to pray. You are going to have God interrupt you when you're in the middle of things during the day as well. He not only will interrupt your sleep. Why? Because God is all about purpose. He's not about timing. He's about purpose. You don't know in the middle of night why He's waking you up to pray for a given situation, but His purpose is perfect. We roll over and go, yeah, this is bad timing. No, it's not about timing, it's about God's purpose. So, personal relationship over years of being alone with God. I have always, for the last 30 years anyway, I have sleep disorder, and my sleep is goofy. It's not always prophetic or intercessory stuff when I'm awake in the night. I have that happen to me. I've shared that with you before. I spend a lot of time awake during the night. It's not too neat, really, to be honest with you. But I tell you what, it does provide time for me to just seek after God and listen. Guys, another thing that is really, really important in prayer. You meeting with God, yes, first and foremost. But while you're meeting with Him, make sure you spend a lot of time being quiet and just listening. Listen in here for that still small voice. Listen in right here, and He'll speak to you there. You'll have a whisper come. Let Him know, here I am. Here I am. I'm sitting here before you, or whatever the situation is. I want to hear from you. Sometimes you have to persist for a long time. God loves to test us to see if we're serious, if we really want that relationship with Him. See, our God is the author of relationship, of healthy relationship. Second, another second characteristic of an intercessor is they will have a deep understanding and conviction of God's righteous judgment toward the wicked, and having an understanding of God's mercy to save them. A true intercessor will never give up on praying, no matter how evil a person is, praying for them to be saved. Even our leaders, the ones who are clearly godless, you know who I'm talking about, the ones are, right? We have one of them that's governor of this state.
Yeah.
All right? And there are ones in the federal level as well. All right? I have my moments, but I pray for them. Lord, if there is anything in those people that they would be able to come to you and be transformed, then do it. But I don't stop there. If that's not possible, Lord, take them out.
That's right.
If that's not possible, you know every man's heart. So if it's not possible, if they're never going to turn to you, take them out and replace them with a godly person. That's my prayer. We need to have an understanding as we're praying of God's righteous judgment. You and I are limited in our understanding, and our revelation is many times dim at the best. Right? So, we've got to allow, as we have that revelation regularly of God's righteous judgment toward the wicked, we need to leave that in His hands and have an understanding of God's mercy to save them. If you want me to give you an example without turning there, Job. He had people around him. He's gone through it. The poor guy's got boils on him. And people are speaking to him, well, what'd you do to earn this? You did something, I know you did. No, he was a righteous man. People that were around him were convinced that he had done something, but they did not understand that God was really using him in a major way, holding him up to the devil to be tested, because he said, I know Job's heart, he won't curse me. But those that were around him condemning him, they didn't see that. They couldn't even get a glimpse of God's righteous judgment. But he was using Job for his glory. Another one is Jonah. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh because he told God, I know that if I go there and proclaim what you put in my mouth, you're a gracious God and you're not going to do it. I go there with a warning and you're going to hang me out to dry. His attitude was wrong. Ours probably wouldn't be too. Nope, I'm not going to go there and say that because you're just going to forgive them anyway. And I'd really rather they got smoked. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I understand I threw a couple of Wayneisms in there, but... But God is righteous. God is just. He knows what he's doing. Did I ever think that God was going to let the regime that is leading this nation right now go this far? No, I did not. But I still trust God.
That's right.
I'm not going to give up on God because I have figured out after 40 years of walking with him that he's not giving up on me. Third characteristic of an intercessor is displaying a holy boldness before God on behalf of others. We are admonished to ask, seek, and knock, and do it over and over and over again. Prayer is not a one and done thing. We're told to ask, seek, and knock. We are called to approach his throne boldly in prayer. Don't be afraid to ask. Alright? Now, boldly does not mean pridefully. There's a difference. Let the pride go and approach in bold humility. Does that make sense? That sounds like an oxymoron, but it's really not. We can be humble and still be bold, because it's the kind of boldness we're talking about that compels us to take God at his word and remind him of his own word. That's the kind of boldness we're talking about. And that kind of boldness does not come from pride in our own lives, but that can come through humility, just reminding God who he is. Because we got a revelation, because we have spent time with him. We meet with him regularly. Fourth one, characteristic of an intercessor. We'll have a deep desire to see God glorified in the earth through answered prayer. I love to see God glorified through answered prayer. I love it when we have testimonies of people that have just seen, boom, look at this answered prayer. It was evidence of answered prayer. It's powerful. But here's the deal. Again, humility. Because I have seen a whole lot of people begin to have pride crop up because they're getting prayers answered that they're praying. And that pride always go before the fall. So we've got to be careful to always deflect pride and always glorify God for what he has done. Because it's him that has done. If he has done anything through us, it is him that has done it. We were only a conduit. Number five, displaying the ability to identify with the consequences of the sin of their city, nation, and the whole world for whom they earnestly pray. Displaying an ability to identify with the consequences of sin at every level. We're all clear that there's consequences for sin, right? There is also forgiveness available. But forgiveness does not cancel the consequences. If you go out, for example, I know this is extreme, but if you go out, for example, and you get in a drunken stupor, and you get in your car, and you take off down the highway 130 mile an hour, and you hit a family and kill the whole family, you are going to go to prison for vehicular homicide. You will probably never see the light of day again. In the process of that, you can repent, and God will forgive you, and he will restore your place in heaven. But you will still pay the consequences of that sin in this life. So with that understanding, as I did today, as a matter of fact, praying for our nation, for the sin, our national sins, there are many big ones today. Many national sins. And we, in prayer, in intercession, forming a prayer covering over this nation, should renounce those sins. Renounce them in the name of Jesus. And that will affect our city, it will affect our state, it will affect our nation. It will affect every government in our nation. School board, whatever it is, it will affect those things because God is in the business of answering sincere prayer. And the final one, praying with the compassion and selfless love of Jesus Christ. We've got to get over thinking that this person or that person or this group or that group is too far out there to ever come to Jesus. We've got to get that thought out of our mind because we don't have the mind of God. Not yet. We will. That's another message. We don't have the mind of God. Too often we act like God. Oh, that person, they're too bad. You know what? There was a day before I was saved that people looked at me and thought of me that way. Because I was screwed up. I still have people, it's been 40 years, that I went to school with, for example, that come up to me and shake their head and say, I can't believe you're a pastor. I just can't get my mind around it. And I always tell them, yeah, no, me either. And it's true. I sit sometimes and think, oh Lord, I never saw this coming. But you know what? I found out later, after that night when I opened my heart to Jesus Christ, on November 16 of 1982, that there were people praying a prayer covering over me.
Amen.
So I'm passionate about what I'm sharing with you today. Because I am the product of intercessory prayer.
Praise God.
Matthew 9, verses 36 through 38. Matthew 9, 36 through 38. Speaking of Jesus, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." First thing I want to look at in these two verses is he had compassion. Jesus had compassion. We should be praying for ourselves that God will increase our compassion. That first verse we read, verse 36, that might as well have been written on April 30th of 2023. Look at the condition of the people. Because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Can I tell you something? There aren't too many true shepherds left anymore. They're not. There aren't very many left. The ones that call themselves pastors, but allow everything in the church except godly things, are not true shepherds. And their flocks fit this bill right here. They fit this bill because they were harassed and helpless. Don't you feel harassed and helpless a lot today? Come on, be honest. The insanity that is going on in our nation, I never ever thought I would live to see our nation go that far off of the cliff of morality.
Amen.
I never thought I'd see it in my lifetime. I thought maybe my kids would live to see it. My grandson's kids for sure probably. But I didn't think it would happen in my lifetime. And here we are. And every week we see more things, more things, more things. It's time to pray up that prayer covering. Because the people are harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd, because they are without true shepherds. Too many are without true shepherds. Too many denominations have abandoned the truth of the Word of God and taken on false doctrine. Too much of that is happening. The harvest is plentiful, he said to his disciples, but the workers are few. We have a narcissistic culture that we are living in right now. What's that mean? There's too many people that care for no one else but themselves. To every thought that comes into their mind, attached to it is, what about me? What about me? Jesus said, love others as you love yourself. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. He says, ask the Lord of the harvest. In other words, pray. Pray. Pray and ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. We need to be praying that God will remove the false shepherds and replace them with true shepherds. We need to pray for our nation. We need to pray for the church in our nation. We need to pray for our military. We need to pray for our school systems. Our children are not being taught the truth in our public school systems. They have turned into indoctrination chambers. They're being indoctrinated into things that are not godly. For Pete's sakes, you send your child off to school when they're a boy and you don't know if they're going to come back a girl. Without the parents, okay. That, my friends, is tyranny. It's why we have the Second Amendment, and I better shut up now. That's why the Second Amendment is there. Come to Constitution Alive class. It'll make it real clear for you. Original intent. I just want to take a moment and clarify. I'm not saying you go home and get your gun and go to a place and start wiping people out. That's not what I meant. But it is why we have the Second Amendment. Second, the agenda of the intercessor. The Bible is very clear about who the intercessor is to pray for. Back to our text that we read in 1 Timothy 2, where he says, I urge you then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, including kings and all those in authority. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because I already talked about a lot of it. That we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. I've already talked about most of this, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time. I just wanted to reiterate that. That's the foundation of this message. Third major idea, intercede according to God's will. Now, I touched on that, talking about the Spirit leading you in prayer. The Bible says we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Holy Spirit knows everything, past, present, and future. So are you praying in or with the Spirit? He will always come alongside to help us correctly intercede according to God's perfect will. Already covered that. I'm just reiterating it. Romans 8, 26 and 27. Romans 8, 26 through 27. And it says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. When we don't know how to pray. And I think maybe it, part of the reason it says in our weakness is because in our weakness, our flesh, we get wrong attitudes. I know I do. I got to rein myself in regularly. We get wrong attitudes. We need to have a right attitude in prayer. I know I already talked about this. I just want to reiterate. I want this to stick with you. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. Spirit. The Spirit leads us. We need to be willing and surrendered, submitted, if you will, to the leading of the Holy Spirit, and He will lead us. The Holy Spirit is a person. He will lead us in our prayer time. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. The Holy Spirit leads us according to God's will. Now this is going to be a fairly long conclusion, but in conclusion. The intercessor quickly learns to listen to the voice of God by the Holy Spirit. The intercessor must also learn the key of working together with God by obeying His voice and doing what He says. When God speaks, pitter-patter, let's get at it. Waiting upon the Lord takes on a new meaning. When we pray and we are waiting for an answer, don't get impatient and start trying to make something happen. We all know how well that went for Abraham and Sarah. And there are many other examples of impatience, waiting for what was promised. Making our own way, not good. We're still paying the price for that today. You know all that trouble in the Middle East that never goes away? That's the consequences of that decision. Again, that's another message, but I had to put that out there. Feeling the presence of the Holy Spirit means more than just being blessed and getting the goosebumps. Oh, did you feel that? Yes, I've been in the charismatic community for 40 years. I know all about it. Oh, did you feel that? You know what's more important about, oh, did you feel that? Oh, did you change? Oh, did you change there? Oh, did you become more like Jesus? He is wanting us to do something with Him. See, there's a difference between with and for. Whatever God directs us into or calls us into, He goes into it with us. So therefore, it's wrong terminology to say that we are doing something for God. Because if we respond to His leading truly, then we are doing something with God. When we are doing something for God, we are doing that in our own strength. and that just never ends well. He is wanting us to do something for Him, to listen to His Word, to see His images in our spirit, to respond to His suggestions and instructions, and to immediately obey His slightest command. A few years ago, when I was in Africa, we had been there for roughly 2 weeks already. We had finished ministering in all of the places that we ministered to. And we were going to be taken to Malawi Lake, to a resort there, and be able to spend about a day and a half before we flew home and unwind a little bit and enjoy some of the pretty stuff in Africa. Malawi Lake, if you're not familiar with that, Malawi Lake is loaded with all of the beautiful fish that end up in fish tanks all over the world. Okay? Now, here's the deal. Before we ever got there, I had a real uneasiness in me. Bad enough that I had contacted my wife and I said, I want to get out of here early. Can you get me a flight change? And she got a hold of the travel agency, and the travel agency tried everything. Got back with me, said, you can't leave early. There is not a flight available. They're full, every one of them. I tried to get out of that country. So, we went there. On the way driving down there, this uneasiness got worse, and I began to pray. We got to the resort, still had this uneasiness, praying. Long story short, at 3 o'clock in the morning, I was asleep. I had 15 milligrams of melatonin in me. If you've never taken 15 milligrams of melatonin, it'll knock down a horse. I had to get some rest. All of a sudden, I wake up to a creaking sound, a loud creaking sound, and a loud thump. And I roll over and I open my eyes, and I got 15 milligrams of melatonin in me. And two people come into the room and flip the light on, and the first thing out of their mouth is, give me the money! In a broken English, for they were Africans. Both of them had 9mm Rugers. If you don't know what I'm talking about, it's a semi-automatic handgun. They both had one. 3 o'clock a.m. Pastor that I had brought with me was laying in bed. He couldn't sleep either, so he had earphones in. He didn't even hear what was going on. I mean, little help! Little help! The two guys pointing guns at me. Long story short, there's more to this story, but for the benefit of those of you who are new here and know nothing about this, what I'm sharing with you is a miracle of God that happened because of intercessory prayer. The one guy wanted my briefcase. I wasn't in the mood to give it to him. So I grabbed the handles of it, said, no, and I don't think you're big enough to take it away from me. I could see out of my peripheral the one that was at the end of the bed about 6 feet from me lean in, and I knew in my knower he was going to pull the trigger, he was going to shoot me. And all I did was go like this. And he pulled the trigger, and that bullet, I felt it go past my head. It hit the cement wall behind me because the building we were in had cement walls, kind of like this building. These are cement walls. These are roughly 2 feet thick. Well, that bullet hit that cement wall. I was in shorts and t-shirts when I was sleeping in. No, I didn't have a t-shirt on, just shorts. So I got basically cement blasted from the bullet hitting the concrete behind me. It hurt. It stung big time. But here's the ironic thing. That bullet went past my head, hit that concrete, came right back past my head the same path and hit the guy that tried to shoot me right in the middle of the chest. Amen. You don't mess with God's people. And the other guy didn't get my briefcase. Things got pretty crazy after he pulled the trigger. I've had people ask me, weren't you scared? I said, no, I was mad. Seriously, I was more mad than anything. Long story short, they left our room. And they found out later it was a whole team of them that were going from room to room robbing me. They came in a boat from the lake, tied up, stalked and tied up the guards, the armed guards that were at the resort before they went to the rooms. Okay? Now, Sue Liggins had it put on her heart to do a prayer clock. And this church, the people of this church did a fantastic job of filling in that prayer clock for the whole time. All of the hours, all of the days, for the whole time, I was going to be gone. Okay? See, now, I'm bringing this around to what? Prayer covering. The importance of prayer covering. Alright? So, thank you, Sue, for doing that. So, I had a prayer covering on me, besides the fact that God had given me an uneasiness, and I was praying a lot. Because I had a real uneasiness about where we were going. All right. Now, I brought it to that point. Murph, would you come up here and share what you got to share with? Larry, I'm going to need this lit up.
Thanks to Sue with this prayer covering, the clock, and all the prayer warriors, because it was a big effort on this part. And I was up in Minnesota fishing with my brother, and Mary was along with my sister-in-law. And we pray every day, but you know, this day I woke up, right away I heard this inner voice saying, "You're shepherd." He said, "Shepherd." And he said, "Shepherd" to me. Your shepherd is in danger. And I'm out here fishing, and okay, I hear him. You know, so I'm kind of talking to God, you know, like we all talk. And this went on all day long. He says, make sure you pray for your shepherd. He is in danger. This went on all day long, and got to be about 7 o'clock, I know it was after supper time. Mary and my brother and my sister-in-law, Cheryl, was out on the deck, and I was inside making sure I was praying at 7 o'clock. And I got into prayer, and it changed. It says, your pastor is in extreme danger. And I kept praying, and I said, you know, Lord, surround him with warring angels, Lord. You know, and it got so intense, I couldn't even call out to Mary or Cheryl because I didn't want to break my communication because it was very, very strong, the feeling that I had that he was in danger. And I had this, the same thing he had. This is really, it's like a mirror image. I had the same thing all day long. Lord, he was telling me, he's in danger. So he had that uneasiness, and I had that feeling that he's in, telling me he was in danger. But when I got to prayer, it was like extreme danger, and I just prayed for warring angels to surround him and protect him from evil and physical harm. And like I say, God gets the glory on this. And when he told me, when he came back, I said, "Are you okay?" And I had no clue, and he didn't tell me until he came up here and my jaws just dropped. You know, but it's just, it's not just me, it's God. You know, it was a group effort from the whole church that did this, the covering. Amen. Mine happened to be 7 o'clock. So all day long he reminded me, so I did.
So when I got back and I talked to Murph after I shared with this body of believers about what had happened and how God had totally intervened. By the way, I still have hearing loss in my left ear because the gun was so close when I got shot at. My hearing's pretty much gone in my left ear. There's very little I can hear out of that ear. If you're on the left side of me, talk loud. But I came back to life by the power of Jesus Christ. Amen? But here's the thing that absolutely blew Murph in my mind when we got to talking after the service. And I said, you know, that's pretty significant that you were praying like that and God was on you that heavy at 7 o'clock, because you guys wouldn't know this probably, but where I was at in Africa is 8 hours ahead of us. When God was on him like that and he was putting up that prayer covering was exactly 3 o'clock a.m. in Africa where I was at.
Amen. Praise God,
is
Lord.
Is that a good example of what I've been talking to you about today? God is so awesome. And we too often go along through our busy lives and don't take the time to tap into all that he has for us. I encourage you, tap into him. Develop that relationship in prayer, that you sit with him and listen and let him direct your life. He'll use you, if you do, to change things here and abroad. I've seen it over the years many times. This was one example, a very powerful one, I will admit. I could have very well came home from Africa and boxed on that trip. He shot at me. He wasn't playing around. He shot at me. And God took care of me. Well, can I tell you something? The devil is shooting fiery darts at us all the time. And when we've got a prayer cover over us, it will deflect those darts. They'll fall powerless. Amen? Let's stand together. Father, I thank you for this body of believers. I thank you for the mighty work that you have begun in these last 20 years here in this church. I pray for every man, woman, and child, and I pray that we would just be completely surrendered to you. Lord, that we would be a people that seeks your face and that we sit in prayer with you, Father God, communing with you, meeting with you, and listening to you throughout the day, taking our marching orders from you. Lord, help us to completely surrender all to you. And use us, Lord, for your glory. For no glory of our own, but for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless. We love you.